We've been living in the world of the story of Exodus. Imagine Moses. They're driving me crazy, Lord. Threatening to kill me with stones this time, huh? You're already killing me with your gripes and groans. The rocks you hurl at me are nothing compared to your hardened hearts. Of course I brought you out here to kill you. Lord, are you hearing this? What shall I do with this people? Go? Me? Ahead? The staff? Yes, I still have it. It's got some blood stains on it from that Nile River incident. Meet you at Horeb? Deity Mountain again. I know it well. And strike what? A rock? And what? You will be what you will be? Yes, I hear you. And water will come out of the rock so that this people may drink. And so we've heard the story. Moses struck the rock, and the water did flow. And the place was called Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And for 40 years in their wilderness wandering, Israel would continue in various forms to ask this question. And every once in a while in the story, as the Israelites would tell it 400 years later, while they were in their own captivity, God would get hoppin' mad. In fact, we read another version of this story in Numbers 16 and Numbers 20, where God gets so mad that the ground opens up and swallows up 300 Israelites. And then the story goes on to tell that Moses gets his heart broken in that version of the story. He strikes the rock so hard with his staff that God actually breaks his heart by saying, "Moses, you will not enter the promised land." More wild and crazy stories from the story of God, filled with faith and folly. And last week I said, I hope that makes us comfortable to see the faith and folly of the Israelites, because we should find our own life story that is too full of faith and folly, right at home with our brothers and sisters of the faith from 3,000 years ago. And so we tell and retell this story. And today's story ends with this big life theology question. One that's been echoed from the First Testament people of God, one that the Second Testament people of God have been echoing, and one that we echo even today. Is the Lord among us or not? And we sometimes pick on the Israelites, don't we? We use these stories as an opportunity to say, oh, what a bunch of complainers and whiners. But I was reflecting on it this past week and reading some commentaries on this story. How long would you and I last without water in the deserts east of Egypt? 7 hours, 8 hours, maybe 10? And what do you think it would look like as we look to our leaders for help? What would be our response as we're thirsting and anguishing in the desert? Oh, I'm just going to pray for my leaders. Oh, yeah, I know, they're just probably doing their hardest. And Moses and Aaron, just, they're doing their best. I suspect that we too might join the anguish and anxiety of the Israelites. A few of us, some of the action people in the room, would rise up and say, "Look, I've got a plan. We're going to kill this guy. We've got better ways to get this job done. Maybe we'll head back to Egypt, remember the pots of meat and all the good times we had in Egypt. We could go back there. We're not that far into this. Let's take him out." So let's bring this closer to our lives and our time. Think about the circumstances that cause us anguish or anxiety or anger. Who are our if only people? If only blank would get plucked out of power, or if only the blanks would stop coming to our city, our country, my neighborhood, then my world or my life or my job or my faith journey or my family would be a better place. And in our own ways, we live out that question, is the Lord among us or not? And the lessons that we've learned and gleaned over the past weeks in Exodus hopefully have informed our imagination and our minds and our hearts and our life stories with, yes, the Lord is among us. At the Red Sea, God provides this amazing way out when there seems to be no way. Or in the early wilderness journey, the Lord provides quail in the evening and manna in the morning. 2 quarts of manna for every man, woman, and child every day for 14,600 days. And today, Moses strikes a rock and water gushes forth. Is the Lord among us or not? These stories remind us of God's faithfulness, of God's fidelity, of God's generosity. These otherworldly stories are supposed to build in us in our vision of life and our destiny and who we are and who we will be, these stories of hope and faith and providence, sometimes just in the nick of time. And so we're called to live into the world of these stories today, in the midst of our own struggles or our anxieties, our fears. And we too might test the Lord. We can do that. We cry out, is the Lord among us or not? And we know the answer, but sometimes asking the question helps us just wrestle with the life struggle. And that's the beauty of our story, in that we see many laments. And this question is really a lament. Lord, are you with us or not? Where are you? Where are you? Lament isn't bad for Israel, and it's not bad for us, the new people of God. And so after the testing and the quarreling, we humbly try to live out the answers that have been told in these ancient stories. And since we've been carrying the Psalms with us over the past several weeks, I included another psalm in your bulletin today, Psalm 81. We've encouraged you to pray Psalm 90, to pray Psalm 66, and so one more psalm for the road. Take Psalm 81 with you in these days. I've included 2 versions. One is the NRSV, the version that you'd find in your pew Bible today that we've already heard. But on the back side of that, there's a version by Nan C. Merrill, a translation that she has in her book, Praying the Psalms. And I've used this prayer book over the past few years as a way to pray the Psalms anew. And the way that Merrill has translated and reconfigured these psalms make them really deeply heartfelt and prayerful. And so we're not going to re-pray the whole psalm, but I thought maybe just the last half, portions of that, of the Nan C. Merrill version. As we wrestle with this reality of, is the Lord among us or not? The second paragraph, I hear a voice I've come to know. I relieve your shoulder of the burden. Your spirit is free to create. In distress, when you call, I come to you. I answer you in the secret place of your heart. I invite you to the grace of forgiveness. Hear, O my people, while I caution you. O dear friends, if you would but listen. Do not make of riches and ambition a powerful God. Do not become puffed up with pride and arrogance. I am your very breath. I have been with you from the beginning. Open your heart wide, and I shall fill it. Who among you will listen to the voice of the Beloved? How many will open their heart? All you too stubborn to hear, who follow your own counsel, will know fear and loneliness. Oh, that my people would listen, that as friends you would walk in my ways. Your fears would soon flee and your hearts would overflow. You who turn your backs on love will know only momentary pleasure. Your reward will soon be spent. But I would satisfy your hunger, and with streams of living water, you would live in the joy of heaven on earth. Streams of living water. I have this bowl here today, and maybe at the end of service, you might want to dip your hands in that water and make the sign of the cross on your head or your hand as a reminder of the living water amongst us. Last week, we talked about Jesus being the new Moses and being that bread in the wilderness, that bread for the journey. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus also talked about his presence being like living water. And so the new Moses, Jesus, stands before us again today. How do we know the Lord's among us? We say, yes, God is here. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the cup of life. And we'll participate in that life as we gather at the Lord's table later today. But let's also remember Jesus who stood before the woman at the well. Or Jesus who stood before friends and religious onlookers at the different feasts in the New Testament. He said, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. Let the one who believes in me drink. Those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. So yes, together in bread and cup and water, in being companions on the journey to one another, we can say, yes, God is here. The Lord is in our midst. And we can be the words of life, the words of hope, the words of peace, the words of encouragement to each other in sometimes anxious and anguishing times. So let us continue to turn our hearts to the Lord this morning, to even turn our mouths and our body towards the table of the Lord this morning. And let us be filled with the presence of Christ, the presence of the community of God who abides with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, both now and forevermore.